Chapter 3. The bleak scrubland of the plain rose into crystalline hills of chromatic splendour. Eerie nimbuses of light spilled from each facet, forming into broad strands of phantasmal substance, as transient and fragile as cobwebs. Hulking growths, neither tree nor stone, but a riotous assemblage of both, thrust their way up through the rainbow webs. Pulpy fruit swayed from the craggy branches of the tree stones, dropping to the ground in explosive displays of flame and smoke, gouging deep fissures in the crystal mounds. Thrall was able to steer the Celestant Prime away from the more dangerous tree stones, his magic giving him warning when the explosive fruit was ripe and ready to fall. The vapours that billowed up from the fissures, however, were a hazard that couldn't be predicted. Several times the wizard had been forced to evoke a hasty spell to send the caustic emanations back into the crystalline depths.
"The Blood Reavers used to collect the fruit of the tree stones," Thrall explained, "but the gases from below made them stop."
He pointed at several curious spurs of crystal scattered about the edges of the fissure.
"Those were men who tarried too long among the vapour. If you draw too near to them, you can still hear their moans."
The Celestant Prime shook his head. For expediency, he had told Thrall to lead him by the most direct route to the Maze of Reflection, but to guide him by such paths as the minions of the Prismatic King were unlikely to frequent. He didn't fear battle with the hordes of chaos, but he couldn't accept the delay such combat would cause. It was why he continued to march rather than take to the sky and betray his presence. Yet for all that, the hostility of this corrupted terrain made the Celestant Prime wonder if the dangers of this course outweighed the potential gain. Thrall had led him through canyons of porous bronze, inhabited by birds with beaks of ice. They'd trekked through a desert where the sand was iron and the sky a bilious green, with vast slug-like behemoths surging through the desolation to feast upon creeks of molten glass. The warrior wondered what this region had been like before the Prismatic King focused the corruption of chaos upon it. The realm of Chaemon and all its many lands were known for strange transmutations, the alloying of substances into something new. How firm had Shard's grip upon permanence been? How transitory had been the essence of that vanquished empire?
"This domain has no limit to its horrors," the Celestant Prime remarked,
nodding to one of the crystalline statues, a groan of anguish whispering from its frozen face.
"How dear your thirst for vengeance must be. I pity you, Thrall, for your memories of what these lands once were."
Thrall paused, staring out towards the horizon, across the shimmering expanse of hills.
"Memory fades," he said. "It retreats into shadow, becoming naught but an echo after a time."
His eyes were solemn as he looked to his companion.
"When it is buried deeply enough, memory becomes confused with imagination."
The wizard pointed his finger at the most distant of the hills.
"Did the vineyards of the brothers Kaltos stretch there once? Or perhaps it was the fastness of the knight's Ebon? Perhaps there was nothing. Maybe what I think to have been never was at all."
He kicked his foot against the crystalline ground, tiny flakes crackling beneath his toes.
"Of what consequence is it to remember? It can't change what is."
The Celestant Prime looked at the hills, trying to imagine grapes and castles as Thrall described. He pondered his own sense of familiarity with the lands of Shard.
"No," he conceded after a time. "Memory may not change things back to what they were, but memory can kindle the flame that avenges what was. If you didn't have your memories of a vanquished people and a vanished home, would you have the courage to guide me? Do not belittle the power of remembering."
The wizard bowed his head.
"There is wisdom in your words," he said. "I will reflect upon what you have said."
Thrall tapped the side of his head.
"For now, I fear we must test the limits of memory. Beyond these hills, I think we should find the demon's hopyard.
As he heard the name, the Celestant Prime felt an inexplicable familiarity. His mind was filled with an image of strange columns of wind-carved rock and great messes of basalt and onyx. He could almost hear the eerie whistle of winged rock rats gliding from the cliffs and smell the pungent tang of flowering weeds rising from the loamy earth.
"Something troubles you?"
Thrall asked, noting the change that had stolen upon his companion.
"Lead me to the hopyard," the Celestant Prime said. "I might know better then what it is that troubles me."
With the crystalline hills behind them, the Celestant Prime found that Thrall needn't have worried about the accuracy of his memory. The loamy earth, grey with its gritty, spore-like vegetation, rippled around great black messes of volcanic rock that loomed hundreds of feet into a greasy sky of shining purple and gibbous silver. As the Celestant Prime circled a towering plateau of basalt and onyx, the sense of familiarity became overwhelming. He stared at the side of the mesa, trying to recall the memory. Almost without conscious volition, he strode towards the rocky base. Here, the basalt was scorched and burned. There, the onyx was disfigured and splintered. He looked down at his feet and saw something lying half hidden beneath the crumpled rock and grubby spores. Brushing the debris away, he exposed a helm of blackened steel, its mask cast in the semblance of a grinning skull. The helm was cracked, a great gouge snaking from crown to chin. A battle had been fought here, fierce and terrible. Gazing up at the mesa, he could envision tattooed marauders howling as they poured semi-molten boulders down from the heights. He could smell the foul reek of demonic things as they slithered down the cliffs. He could hear the booming challenge of an armored warlord in blackened mail, and again, the clamor of conflict. No. The sounds of battle weren't in his mind. He could hear the crash of steel, the cries of warriors. Amidst the foul shrieks of beasts, the Celestant Prime could hear the shouts of men, voices raised in a cry that sent fire pouring through his veins.
"For Sigma!"
The war cry was repeated, ringing out above the din of battle. Leaving Thrall behind, the Celestant Prime hastened towards the sounds, running around the base of the plateau and on to all the eerie rock hoodoos that peppered the valley beyond. Among the bizarre stone formations raged a bloody fray. Hundreds of gores, armed with crude stone axes and clubs of bone, charged up from burrows gouged into the valley floor. The beastmen swarmed around a tight knot of figures with locked shields, foes clad in golden armour who struck at the creatures with sword and hammer. The Celestant Prime recognised the cast of their armour and the emblem adorning their pauldrons. These were warriors of the thrice blessed. For all his despair and bitterness, Thrall had been wrong. At least these men had escaped the maze of reflection.
"For Sigma!"
the Celestant Prime roared as he charged into the battle. The first blow from his warhammer sent lightning crackling across the body of a gore he struck, flinging the creature into one of the stone hoodoos and splitting the rock with the ferocity of its impact. More of the monsters turned to confront this sudden attack on their flank. A second strike from the hammer sent a dozen of the beastmen tumbling into the dirt, their bones shattered by the hammer's might. The thrice-blessed, ringed on every side by the gores, now broke out from behind their shield wall and flung themselves full into the enemy. The confusion wrought by the Celestant Prime's sudden assault against their flank was now redoubled as the stormcasts took to the offensive. Horn brutes broke before crushing blows from Sigmarite hammers, while others bleated and squirmed upon the blades of swords. Yard by yard, the warriors pushed the beastmen back, strewing the ground with inhuman bodies. The Celestant Prime fought with the cold determination of righteousness, smashing enemies at every step as he forced his way towards the thrice-blessed. A blow from his hammer splattered a bull-headed chieftain's body across the rocks. Another strike, and a pack of gores was reduced to a pile of carrion. carnage was the hero's herald, horrible and magnificent. Each yard he pressed into the valley was littered with the mangled carcasses of his foes. The combined valour of the Celestant Prime and the resurgent Stormcasts finally broke the savagery of the Gauls. Whining like whipped curs, the creatures gave up the fight, fleeing back down into their burrows. The thrice-blessed pursued the routed monsters, slaughtering many of them before they could withdraw into the subterranean darkness. Only when the last of the beasts was gone did the thrice-blessed turn to regard the warrior whose aid had delivered them. They numbered less than a score, their armor scarred and stained with the filth of many ordeals. Liberators with their warhammers and swords, a pair of judicators with their skybolt bows, and a single retributor with his immense lightning hammer clenched in both hands. The Celestant Prime could feel the uncertainty as the men approached him.
"Is he real, or another trick of the Prismatic King?" one of the Stormcasts asked his comrades, armored fingers drumming menacingly against the blade of his sword.
Another warrior shook his head.
"No, Othmar. He's real enough.
Can't you see he carries the Comet Strike Scepter? Can you not see Sigmar's hammer?"
"Are you certain, Ducius?" Othmar wondered aloud. "Well, that could be a trick, too."
The Celestant Prime held the warhammer towards them, pointing the rune weapon at each man in turn.
"I could doubt you as well," he said. "Each of you bears the emblem of the Thrice Blessed, yet they have been accounted lost. I have been told the chamber was caught within the Prismatic King's maze of reflection. How then is it that you eluded the trap that claimed your brothers?"
Ducius shook his head and pointed at the weapon the Celestant Prime bore.
"I cannot doubt the God King's hammer. Only Galmaraz could wreak such carnage upon the foe. Only Sigmar's hammer could make me feel such awe. No thing of chaos, mortal or demon, could bear the weapon you carry. Only one favored by Sigmar could do so, and only one mighty in his service could evoke the hammer's power."
Ducius bowed to his knees and removed his helm. He stared up at the hero.
"No thing of the enemy can withstand the touch of the Godhammer. Let it touch me, and you will know I am truly Stormcast."
Casting his gaze across the other warriors, the Celestant Prime raised Ducius to his feet.
"It is by faith that men prove themselves," he said. "It is through trust that men are made brothers."
Othmar let his fingers be still. Slowly, he too bowed.
"Forgive our doubt, but we have come to question all that our senses tell us."
He glanced at their surroundings, at the strange sky and eerie hoodoos.
"In this place, nothing is what it seems to be. It comes hard to trust anything."
"It is in doubt that the seed of defeat is sown," Ducius said. "A Stormcast Eternal can have no room for doubt. His mind must hold room only for duty and honour. There is no place for doubt in the righteous."
The warriors nodded, reflecting upon the catechism Ducius quoted. The Celestant Prime approached Othmar, laying his hand on the warrior's shoulder.
"Hardship can sap even the most stalwart faith. There is no shame in such caution."
He looked across the other Stormcasts.
"For myself, to find brothers in this desolation brings me too much joy to question it. Triumph and glory ring hollow without comrades to share it."
"We found no triumph and little glory when we challenged the maze of reflection," Ducius declared, lowering his face in contrition. "Devindus, thrice blessed, led us into the very heart of the enemy. But we were unequal to the test. We failed our Lord Celestant, and we failed great Sigmar."
"Even in failure there is room for redemption," the Celestant Prime said.
The words came to his tongue with a sense of humility, a feeling that they came not from himself but from something greater, a conviction that they were meant not only for the thrice-blessed, but also for himself. Ducius met the Celestant Prime's gaze. There was an almost reverent glow in the Liberator's eyes now.
"The wisdom of the Deus Sigmar brings both comfort and challenge.
He turned and darted a triumphant look at Othmar.
Would a trick of the prismatic king quote Sigmar's holy scriptures?
Othmar spread his arms wide in a gesture of submission.
I have already conceded the field, brother, he said.
Bowing once more to the Celestant Prime, he apologized to the winged hero.
You must indulge, Deucius. He has enough devotion in him to balance the faults of all the thrice-blessed.
If that were true,
Deucius said,
then we should have conquered the maze and captured the Pillar of Whispers.
The Celestant Prime swung around, his eyes locking upon Deucius.
The Pillar of Whispers,
he hissed, feeling the name resonating within him, blazing through his mind like a ravening firestorm.
Is the realm gate we were charged to capture,
Othmar said.
A portal seized by the prismatic king and hidden within the maze. Lord Celestant Devindus believed that by securing the Pillar of Whispers, we would sever the prismatic king's source of power. We could begin to reclaim the lands of Shard without the threat of new enemy legions being drawn through the realm gate.
We never even came within sight of it,
Deucius stated.
The sorcery of the maze overwhelmed us before we could threaten the enemy's treasure.
The Celestant Prime could see the shame and remorse these warriors felt at their failure. It was an illness coiled about their hearts, slowly eating away at their valor, making them less than what they were.
Boldly, he raised Galmaraz, compelling the eyes of every stormcast to the relic.
Here is the key that will unlock the maze, he declared. What sorcery can endure the God King's hammer?
Many of the thrice-blessed fell to one knee, seized by their awe of the relic and their belief in its indomitable power. Othmar remained standing, however, his tone dour when he spoke.
I know Galmaraz is mighty, he said, but I've also seen the power of the maze. All of us have, except you, my lord.
Tell me of the maze, the Celestant Prime ordered.
Tell me of this power that makes you question the might of Sigmar.
Othmar shook his head.
It is a thing beyond words, something past sight and sound and feeling. At once all and none of these things. We marched into a place of nothingness, an emptiness where there was only ourselves, an emptiness that stretched on forever, without limit or end.
Othmar found a flaw in the maze,
one of the other warriors declared.
A crack in the cage of nothingness that held us.
Only we few were able to slip free before the crack closed, Deucius explained.
But of what consequence has our freedom been? We're too few to assail the prismatic king's eyrie, and we lack the secrets of the maze to seize the realm gate or rescue our brethren.
Then it is well you have found Galmaraz.
The thrice-blessed swung around, reaching for their weapons as the voice carried to them. Stalking out from the shadow cast by the plateau was the lean little wizard Thrall. The man nodded respectfully to the armoured warriors as he hastened towards the champion.
Such do I call him, for his is the burden of the Godhammer,
Thrall boasted.
If Galmaraz cannot break the power of the maze, then there is no force that can.
The Celestant Prime gazed down at the little man.
You took your time joining us.
Thrall plucked at his ragged cloak and slapped his lean legs.
You might have tarried a bit and given me a chance to catch up. I'm hardly so spry as once I was.
My lord, who is this man? Deucius asked.
Thrall of Shard,
Galmaraz answered. Last of his people and our ally. Thrall bobbed his head in agreement.
My magic is too weak to oppose the prismatic king, but I have been able to spy upon him. I know the secret paths that lead to the maze of reflection, ways hidden from even his most loyal servants.
Othmar approached the little wizard, towering over the cloaked man.
And what of the maze? Do you know its secrets too? Can you lead us through the trap? Can you help us redeem ourselves?
The liberator shook his head.
How can this wretch bring victory where the thrice-blessed have found only failure?
He scoffed.
There is a time for valour and strength, and a time for cunning,
the Celestant Prime reminded Othmar.
Pride
is a poor substitute for strategy.
I only want to redeem the shame we have all suffered, Othmar explained. This is a burden that belongs to the thrice-blessed.
Your zeal does you credit, the Celestine Prime told him. But it is presumptuous to think the burden is yours alone. All who oppose chaos have a stake in the great battle. The winged hero turned back to the wizard. You say you know the way to the maze, but what of the prismatic king's eyrie?
Thrall took a step backwards, almost tripping over himself in shock at the question.
Well, you can't mean to attack the prismatic king's stronghold.
It isn't my place to question one chosen to bear the godhammer. But shouldn't we overcome the maze before we take on the prismatic king?
Othmar asked.
The maze has been challenged before, Galmaraz declared. If courage alone was sufficient to overcome its magic, then the thrice-blessed would have prevailed.
No. There is a secret behind the maze. None of us here knows that secret, but we know where to find the one who does.
The Eyrie of Illumination is guarded by the most infernal of the Prismatic King's legions, Othmar said. When our chamber came here, we knew that only by capturing the Realm Gate and securing it could we prevail against the Eyrie. If our war host was insufficient for the task, how could a mere handful triumph?
You forget that we have the might of Galmaraz now,
Jucius declared.
And what army can stand against the power of the Godhammer?
It isn't necessary to capture the Eyrie, the Celestine Prime explained. For that, we would need the strength of numbers. But our purpose isn't to seize the fortress, only to find its master. To that end, a small group is better. Let the prismatic king underestimate his peril. Let him believe we are naught but a nuisance to be swatted aside. He will hesitate to commit his legions if he believes they are unnecessary.
The hero turned from the stormcasts and again regarded the cloaked wizard.
Do you know the way into the Eyrie?
Thrall smiled.
The prismatic king moves his Eyrie whenever it suits him. Sometimes it is in the plains, sometimes the mountains, but always it must return to the fields of Uthir, where he first raised it from the fire. At dawn and dusk, the in-between times, when the borders of existence are at their thinnest, that is when the stronghold must return to its foundations.
Then guide us to the fields of Uthir, the Celestine Prime told the wizard.
Do this, Thrall, and know that you will have done your part to avenge your people.